Authority Supreme herbicide from FMC delivers control of broadleaf weeds and grasses that outlast the competition, because we play to win. Learn more at authoritysupreme.ag.fmc.com. Always read and follow all label directions.
November is Thank Alabama Teachers Month, and every teacher deserves a thank you. Whether it's a card, a post, a painting, a book, or a bouquet, look, you can't go wrong here. It could be their favorite cake, a life-sized replica of their head made out of paper mache for you more artistic folks, or as simple as helping out around the classroom. The best way to thank a teacher is any way. For more ways that you can thank a teacher this month, visit weteachalabama.com/thanks.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
The Leaders.
Senator Ted Cruz.
Thank you, Chris. It's always great to be with you.
Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
Hey, thanks for having us on. I appreciate it very much.
The Newsmakers.
Folks like Peter Schweitzer.
Hey, Chris, it's great to be on with you.
Ann Coulter.
Great to be here, Chris. Thank you.
He's colossal. Stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
Their first concern is not for the security and safety of the people of this country. Their first concern is protecting their left-wing behinds.
The Signal Storm Podcast.
How many of you know what the day the music died is? Show of hands. 1959. American rock and roll musicians Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, the Big Bopper, J.P. Richardson. They were all killed in a plane crash near Clear Lake, Iowa. And the pilot of the aircraft died as well. Roger Peterson, I believe, was his name. The event became known as the day the music died, after singer and songwriter Don McLean referred to it as such in a 1971 song called American Pie. And it kind of stuck. Now, literally, the music didn't die. We've still had musicians coming after 1959 who have made great music in all genres, correct? But it was a seminal moment in the music industry, a gut punch in the music industry that didn't mean its demise, but there was a lot of talent and a lot of great music on that plane that went down that our people were denied. You know, I've often fantasized about how many of you know the multiverse theory, that in some alternative universe, that plane never went down, and that those musicians, Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, the Big Bopper, they all went on to continue to make music, and how that would have changed the complexion of music. Folks, in the conservative talk arena, in media in general, there was another event that was just as seminal, just as impactful as the day the music died in 1959. And that was the passing of Rush Limbaugh on February 17th, 2021. It was, in my mind, a prelude to the misery that Joe Biden would be dishing up in the subsequent months and years after he attained the Oval Office. He, of course, took office in January of 2021 after allegedly defeating President Trump in the election of 2020. So in Texas, we were dealing with Snowmageddon at the time. I had just spent, and my family had just spent, 4 days in the dark freezing our rear ends off in a once-in-a-hundred-year storm, and the state of Texas couldn't keep the lights on. And right in the midst of it, it knocked me off the air for a couple of days because it was so impactful. There's no power, as you might remember. And I had just gotten back on the air, and I'll never forget what I was doing. I was driving away from the radio station in North Texas, and my producer calls me, and I was driving down the snow packed road. They were just passable. That's how I could get into the radio studio and get on the air. And I was thinking, man, what happened? What was wrong with my promo? Because we usually cut promos for the next day, for the next show, so that people know what's coming up, right? Well, he said, Chris, it's not your promo. Rush died. And folks, you should have heard the expletives flying out of my mouth, because it was a gut punch. Everything else that we were dealing with in Texas. And then one of the greatest broadcasters, one of the greatest men, and the man who defined talk radio, who created an entire industry around himself, and what he was able to accomplish was gone. Not to mention the fact that he was a guiding light. He always used to say, "Your guiding light," Rush Limbaugh would say, in times of tumult and chaos, and even in the good times. And he would back up those claims with fantastic, entertaining shows and insightful commentary, which is what defined the great Rush Limbaugh. One of his traditions was to basically every Thanksgiving tell us the true story of Thanksgiving, not the bastardized, politically correct version that is put into some textbooks, liberal textbooks. No, the real researched version of what actually happened on the first Thanksgiving and what it's all about. And that year of 2021, we were going to be denied that. And I couldn't allow that to happen. I, your liberty-loving Latino, could not let it pass that tradition of defining and basically reminding our citizens of what the true meaning of Thanksgiving was, it couldn't be allowed to die. And so I decided then and there I was going to do it. I was going to bring it back, and I put it on the Newsmax show. And we did it. And praise God, I'm hoping that I am not the only conservative talk show host out there who is going to be doing this. I can think of no better way to honor America. I can think of no better way to honor the great Rush Limbaugh than to repeat this tradition. So coming up next, we will do it on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Genital mutilation is happening to Texas kids. These abusive medical practices are being pushed by the radical woke leftists in our state. You can go to TexasScorecard.com to learn more and get real news for real Texans.
Inspired by the words of L. Rushbow himself, the true story of Thanksgiving. This history lesson was inspired by Rush Limbaugh's book, See, I Told You So, Chapter 6, entitled Dead White Guys Are What the History Books Never Told You. The true story of Thanksgiving, it was also derived from George Washington's first Thanksgiving proclamation. For those of you who are recent products of our critical race theory, anti-American government-run education system, George Washington was our first and perhaps greatest president. Speaking of GovEd, we have to begin with the propaganda that has been told ever since I was in school. Everybody thinks that we screwed the Indians, gave them a bunch of garbage for land, like the island of Manhattan. It's the other way around in reality. Some years ago, students at so-called institutions of higher learning said, it's not okay to celebrate Thanksgiving because it's based off of the genocide of indigenous people. That's what they've been taught, and it's crap. So let's set the record straight as to why our first president, George Washington, first proclaimed it Thanksgiving. Rush Limbaugh asked, who was thanking who for what? I was taught that pilgrims must have been giving thanks to the Native American Indians for saving them. That's not what the pilgrims were thankful for, as you will come to understand. The story of the Pilgrims begins in the early part of the 17th century. The Church of England, under King James, was persecuting anyone and everyone who did not recognize its absolute civil and spiritual authority. The first Pilgrims were Christian rebels. Those who challenged King James' ecclesiastical authority and those who believed strongly in freedom of worship were hunted down, imprisoned, and sometimes executed for their beliefs in England in the 1600s. Anyone see a parallel to what's happening today in school board meetings across the country? A group of separatists, Christians, who didn't want to buy into the Church of England or live under the rule of King James, first fled to Holland and established a community for themselves there. After 11 years, about 40 of them, having heard about this new world Christopher Columbus had discovered, decided to go. 40 of them agreed to make a perilous journey to the new world where they knew they would certainly face hardships. But the reason they did it was so they could live and worship God according to the dictates of their own beliefs. On August 1st, 1620, the Mayflower set sail. It carried a total of 102 passengers, including 40 folks that we know as Pilgrims, led by William Bradford. On the journey, Bradford set up an agreement, a contract, that established how they would live once they got to the New World. The contract set forth just and equal laws for all members of the new community, irrespective of their religious beliefs or political beliefs. Where did the revolutionary ideas expressed in the Mayflower Compact come from? They came from the Bible. The Pilgrims were a devoutly religious people, completely steeped in the lessons of the Old and New Testaments. They looked to the ancient Israelites for inspiration. And because of the biblical precedents set forth in Scripture, they never doubted that their experiment would work. They believed in God. They believed they were in the hands of God. Back then, the trek across the Atlantic was no pleasure cruise, my friends. The journey to the New World on the tiny, by today's standards, sailing ships, it was long, it was arduous, and often deadly. There was sickness. There was seasickness. It was wet and miserable. When the Pilgrims landed in New England in November, they found, according to Bradford's detailed journal, a cold, barren, desolate wilderness. There were no friends to greet them, he wrote. There were no houses to shelter them. There were no inns where they could refresh themselves. There was nothing. The sacrifice they had made for freedom was just beginning. During the first winter, half of the Pilgrims, including Bradford's own wife, died of either starvation, sickness, or exposure. They endured that first winter. When spring finally came, they had, by that time, met the indigenous people, the Native American Indians, and indeed the Indians taught the settlers how to plant corn, fish for cod, and skin beavers and other animals for coats. But there wasn't any prosperity. They did not yet prosper. They were still dependent. They were still confused. They were still in a new place, essentially alone, with just like-minded people surrounding their immediate community. This is incredibly important to understand, because this is where modern American history lessons often end. Thanksgiving is actually explained in some textbooks as a holiday for which the Pilgrims gave thanks to the Indians for saving their lives. Now, don't misunderstand. That part of history did happen. Nobody denies that. But that's not, according to William Bradford's journal, what they ultimately gave thanks for. Here is the part that has been omitted from agenda-driven textbooks in GovEd. The original contract that the Pilgrims made on the Mayflower as they were traveling to the New World, they actually had to enter into that contract with merchant sponsors in London, because they had no money of their own. The merchants in London were making an investment, and as such, the Pilgrims agreed that everything they produced would go into a common store or a bank or common account, and each member of the community was entitled to one common share in this bank. Out of this, the merchants would be repaid until the debt was fully paid off. All of the land the Pilgrims cleared and the houses they built belonged to the community as well. Everything belonged to everybody, and everybody had one share in it. they were going to distribute it equally. And as Rush explained it, nobody owned anything. It was a commune. It was the forerunner to the communes we saw in the 1960s and 70s out in California and other parts of the country. And it was complete with organic vegetables. The Pilgrims contract was considered to be the epitome of fairness, sharing the hardships and burdens and prosperity. But under this socialist system, the hardships were plenty, but prosperity never came. After enduring months and months of hardship, first on the Mayflower and then in the New World, then came the failure of the common account for which everybody got the same share. They soon discovered there was no incentive for anybody to do anything. And as is human nature, some of the Pilgrims were a bunch of lazy Democrat socialists. Others, the conservatives, with a strong work ethic, busted their rear ends. But it didn't matter because even the people that weren't very industrious got the same as everybody else. Bradford wrote about this socialist system that wasn't working. What he and the Pilgrims discovered was, quote, that the most creative and industrious people had no incentive to work any harder than anyone else, end quote. Folks, as stated, it's human nature. In every group of people, you've got your self-starters, you've got your hard workers, and your industrious people, and they've got your lazy know-nothings. And under this version of equity, the resentment sprang up on both sides. And Bradford wrote about this, quote, for this community, so far as it was found to breed much confusion and discontent and retard much employment that would have been to their benefit and comfort. For young men that were most able and fit for labor and service did repine that they should spend their time and strength to work for other men's wives and children without any recompense. That meant without any payment. That was the injustice. Why should anyone work for other people when they can't work for themselves? What's the point? The Pilgrims found that people could not be expected to do their best work without incentive to do so. Consider this. AOC and her socialist squad, Bernie Sanders and Biden's socialists, have bought into this fantasy that the reason why socialism has never worked is that nobody has quite gotten it right. So left-wingers dedicate your family's wealth and future to an impossible endeavor, trying to fix socialism, trying to refine it, perfect it, and reinvent it. The Pilgrims, with more intelligence than Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the entirety of the backward political party called the Democrat Party, the Pilgrims decided to scrap socialism permanently because it brought out the worst in human nature. It emphasized laziness. It created resentment. Bradford, new governor of the colony, recognized that socialism wasn't working, and he was right. Socialism was costly and destructive to the success and prosperity of these early Americans. So Bradford tried something different. Bradford assigned a plot of land to each family to work and manage as their own. He got rid of the whole communist structure and assigned a plot of land to each family to work and manage, and whatever they made, however much they made, was theirs. They could sell it, they could share it, they could keep it, whatever they wanted to do. What really happened is they turned loose the power of the free market. The Pilgrims unharnessed the power of good old-fashioned free enterprise by invoking the undergirding capitalistic principle of private property. Every family was assigned its own plot of land to work, and they were permitted to market the crops and products as they saw fit. And history, the real history, not the 1619 Project BS, the real history records the results. Quote, this had very good success, wrote Bradford, for it made all hands industrious. In no time, the Pilgrims found that they had more food than they could eat themselves. Now, this is where it gets really good, my friends. If you're laboring under the misconception that I and so many people were taught in school, so the Pilgrims set up trading posts and exchanged goods with the Indians. The profits allowed them to pay off their debts to the merchants in London. And the success and prosperity of the Plymouth settlement attracted more Europeans. That in turn began what came to be known as the Great Puritan Migration. Everybody wanted a part of it, and these early Americans were thankful. There was no mass slaughtering of Indians. There was no wiping out the indigenous people in this time. The Indians were very helpful. Puritan kids had relationships with the children of Native Americans. The killings of the Indians, that happened much, much, much later. It has nothing to do with the first Thanksgiving. President George Washington issued the first Thanksgiving Day proclamation in 1789. It read, in part, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protections and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted to the people of the United States, to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the benefactor, author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation." My friends, that's the real history of Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving was William Bradford and the Plymouth Colony thanking God, not the Indians, for their blessings. There was nothing wrong with being grateful to the Indians, and our ancestors shared their bounty as the Indians shared their experience and know-how. It was a shining example of what we can do united under God. The true meaning of Thanksgiving. And this is what George Washington recognized in his first Thanksgiving proclamation, was thanking God for His divine blessings on our people. Those blessings are the rewards when we live up to the very American creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Look at what our people can do when we are united in freedom under God. And now, we also know why our political enemies hate God and are doing their very best to divide us. We would all do well to remember where our blessings come from, and we should continue this tradition of remembering where Thanksgiving came from, a tradition given us by a man who never forgot the noble beginnings of our blessed land. Thanks, Rush Limbaugh. Miss you every day. And that, my friends, is going to put a wrap on this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor. Keep up this tradition. Maybe share this with some of your family and friends. We're going to put out this podcast, God willing, every single year, so we never forget this tradition. And share the different versions, because it'll change slightly throughout the years, depending on what's going on in our contemporary society. Also, do me a favor, kids, and visit two websites. The first one, TexasScorecard.com, TexasScorecard.com. All the news that impacts Texas. If it impacts Texas, it impacts the United States. And also visit ChrisSalcedo.com. You can track down the Chris Salcedo shows on radio and on television. And then, of course, always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. God's blessings to each and every one of you. And remember this, my friends. A society's worth, meaning its value, we don't measure that worth by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government. We measure that worth by how much power is reserved for you and me. In short, we, the people. Have a blessed Thanksgiving. See you next time.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice of the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.